This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. It's been a month since Hurricane Katrina swamped the city of New Orleans. Today, the city is again pumping out floodwaters, this time from Hurricane Rita. Before the storms, the low-lying metropolis was made livable by its complex network of drainage canals and pumping stations. The New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board was in charge of that network, and its employees have been working round the clock for 4 weeks to dry out the city. NPR's John Burnett reports.
The New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board is the city's bloodstream and bowels. It manages all freshwater, sewage, and storm drainage in a below-sea-level city that receives more than 5 feet of rain annually. Rainwater flows into a 180-mile matrix of drainage canals. Then 24 pumping stations discharge the water into Lake Pontchartrain, north of the Crescent City. Ernest Smith is a 35-year-old water main repairman.
Usually when the storm is over, the pumps are on, they're pumping, the water's going out. That did not happen. The storm was over, but the waters were rising.
When Katrina's storm surge burst the levees, 80% of the city went underwater. The hurricane flooded half of all the agency's pumping stations, ruptured thousands of water and sewer lines, and shut down the city's biggest drinking water plant. On top of this, much of the board's vehicle fleet was swamped, as were the homes of most of its employees. The State Chartered Water Board faced, and still faces, the greatest challenges in its storied 106-year history.
Was there a moment when you thought the water was winning?
No. I know the system that I'm responsible for. I never had those thoughts.
That's Marcia St. Martin, executive director of the Sewerage and Water Board. She's a 57-year-old accountant by training, a sixth-generation New Orleanian who stands 4'11" and possesses the iron will of a Marine general. On a humid evening, she sits outside of a water purification plant wearing khaki pants and a linen blouse, one of three outfits she rotates. Her own house and all of her possessions were inundated by the flood. St. Martin loves to talk about her 1,200 employees, not one of whom, she points out, abandoned their post.
We pumped throughout the hurricane. We pumped the next day. We pumped every single day. And it's just a dynamic group of men and women. We're very fortunate that a lot of our employees are of generations. Their fathers and their grandfathers and their grandmothers have worked for the water agency, and it's in the blood.
The storm trapped a few workers inside flooded pumping stations, some in chest-deep water. Charles Wilkinson, a power dispatcher at Central Control, describes one rescue.
The water continually rose and rose and rose. These guys were literally praying in the station, "I wish we had a boat, I wish we had a boat." And they looked outside the window, and in the storm, in the water, had blew a boat up against the building, and they were able to be saved.
The board's second general superintendent was an engineering legend, Albert Baldwin Wood. In the 1910s, he invented a low-maintenance, high-volume pump that was so successful it was used around the world. The Netherlands reclaimed the Zuider Zee with help from Wood-designed pumps. His 90-year-old mechanisms are still in use all over New Orleans today. Again, Director Marcia St. Martin.
We have the ability to pump 30 billion gallons of water per day. 30 billion gallons is equal to the flow of the Ohio River. So it's a wonderful system that performed well. What impacted that system was flooding. And throughout the history of New Orleans, we've never had three major levees to collapse at one time.
For some perspective, an official with the American Water Works Association reports that New Orleans experienced the most catastrophic multiple system failure of any city in modern American history. The Sewerage and Water Board needed to get its own power plants back up, restart the flooded pumps, and restore water pressure for firefighters simultaneously. Battlefield solutions abounded. For instance, they noticed a single traffic light was still working in nearby Jefferson Parish. With that information, they worked with the power company, Entergy, to redirect a distribution line to pumping station number 6, which was in a critical flood zone. The great pumps coughed to life and started sucking 4,000 cubic feet of water a second out of the precinct. So powerful are the pumps that when the machines kicked in, Water Board employees watched a whirlpool develop 5 miles away from station 6. Beholding the vortex, Chief Electrical Engineer Gary Surratt was thinking,
"Hot dog." We were very happy to see it, you know. That means the water's going out.
Initially, an official with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers predicted it would take months to dewater the drowned city, but they'd calculated the task based on the Corps' portable pumps. As the water board's mammoth pumps began to come back online, the job was accomplished in about 3 weeks. Police were able to continue house-to-house searches for bodies in their squad cars. Again, Chief Electrical Engineer Gary Surratt.
We were very successful in pumping out the water. There were people that took credit for it with Tinker Toy-type pumps, similar to going to the seashore with a soda straw and trying to empty it. But we did it with these big pumps, and they get a brand new appreciation for the power of our pumping system.
The current general superintendent of the water board, 79-year-old Joe Sullivan, leads visitors into pumping station number 7. Built in 1899, the red brick warehouse-looking building straddles the Orleans Canal, which leads to the lake. Walking across the oily floor, Sullivan points to one of the giant electric motors that powers the gray-painted pumps designed by his esteemed predecessor, A. Baldwin Wood.
This is one of the pumps that were put in 1912. And this is one of the ones that got drowned out. You see how the motor goes down into this pit? The water in this station was probably up to your knees.
Sullivan enters the dimly lit control room and greets the pump operator, Ricky Ray.
How are you doing, man?
Good.
Ray rises from a cat nap. He rubs his stubbled chin, scratches his matted hair, and fumbles for a smoke.
We just shut down a little while ago,
yeah,
Mr.
Sullivan.
We're doing okay, you know. Got the water down to 9 feet.
That's good.
Uh-huh. So it's starting to take a bite out of it, and then it's going to take a while.
This station is helping to pump out floodwaters from Hurricane Rita, which should only take about 3 days once the levee breaches are repaired. Ricky Ray is one of the water board's unlikely heroes. He's remained here inside this dark, dank pump house almost since the morning of the original storm.
It's like living in a cave. Not nice.
Except for a few days when the National Guard forced him out. The water board located Ray in a shelter in Baton Rouge, and he immediately returned to his post. Ray remembers the day the levee broke, and water coursed in through the cypress doors.
The scary part was walking around, and you don't know if something's going to come up and bite you. Like alligators, snakes, any kind of wildlife, you know, that could come in the water.
Unable to live in the flooded pump house, he moved on to the levee with another employee and waited.
First night, the mosquitoes weren't too big. Second night, they was bigger. The third night, there was like B-29s in the window, and the water was going septic. You could look, you know, one moving, it was laying. I said, we got to get the hell out of here. But there was other people drowning, so we were waving them on, go and help other people first, because we was all right.
10 or 12 days later, the water began to recede, and they restored power to Station 6. Ricky Ray and other employees of the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board began to hear a sound that was to them, at the moment, even more beautiful than the music that emanates from this celebrated city. The pumps came back on. John Burnett, NPR News, New Orleans.